Did you know Tide has been upgraded to provide an even better clean and cold water? Tide is specifically designed to fight any stain you throw at it, even in cold. Butter? Yep. Chocolate ice cream? Sure thing. Barbecue sauce? Tide's got you covered. You don't need to use warm water. Additionally, Tide Pods let you confidently fight tough stains with new ColdZyme technology. Just remember, if it's gotta be clean, it's gotta be Tide.
Shit show. Welcome back to Shit Show Shadow. We have a shit show, dude. We have Shit Show Grant. Hi. I'm so glad that you stuck around. When you first came, I thought that you would be gone.
Why'd you think that?
I thought it was gonna scare you off or something.
I mean, I had done a few group situations before, and I was a little wary of that because they had not gone well. I have to say, like, when I first joined the shit show, I was like, well, I don't know if this is for me. Like, I don't know if I'm like quite fit in here. But then 3 months in and like reading the laundry list again, I'm just like, okay, yeah, this is like pretty applicable after all. So all the vibes in this group are great. So I feel, yeah, it's just a nice little safe place to be. So, yeah.
Okay. So what song do you want played when you walk into a room?
This is tough because I listen to music like all day. So I've got like 12 that I could throw at you, but I really love this song Strong by Romy. It's really beautiful. And I think, it has like a very like childhood trauma, like basically you don't have to be strong is the lyric.
Okay. Carbohydrate.
Everything bagel, please.
How are the bagels there in Chicago?
We don't really have a bagel scene. We have pizza, we have hot dogs. But we just don't do bagels here. You gotta go to Brooklyn for that. But I don't know. I'm not a bagel snob, so like a bagel is a bagel to me.
Okay, so what about cheese?
I'm pretty much vegan these days, so I'm not eating a ton of cheese, but I do like the chow. Vegan cheese is pretty good.
What about when you were non-vegan?
I just was never a cheese person. Yeah. Like, it's fine. I don't know. It's fine.
So on Bumble, the dating app, like, they have a thing where you can, because the girl is supposed to send the first message, but like, now they have it set up, I guess, to where you can have like a preset question. So then the guy doesn't have to wait for you to, they can just like start it. And so of course mine says like, what's your favorite carb, cheese, and condiment? And this guy wrote, he wrote bread. I don't know much about cheese, ranch. I don't know much about cheese. Like, what kind of answer is that?
But he's willing to learn. It sounds like he's receptive to
no.
Cheese knowledge.
It's a hard no. I don't know much about cheese. That's a hard no. Okay, bread. Condiment.
I love hot sauce. I'm like, but I also love mustard. I think I just like all the condiments. They're all good.
What is your hot sauce brand?
Lately, because of this sriracha shortage, I've been branching out. So it used to be sriracha. These days, it's like any old thing that I find in the grocery store that is like similar, I guess.
I didn't know about the sriracha shortage. What's that about?
They had the crop failure or something. There, it's like made with very specific peppers, and the like crop like failed or something, and they had to like basically cut back on production. And so like there, it was hard to get sriracha there for a little bit. And
like still a black market for sriracha.
It got really expensive in some places.
It did.
Yeah. So yeah,
I didn't hear about that. How long has that been going on?
I think it was last year, but even now it's so hard to find like a good bottle. Like I got a bottle, but it was like not the same taste. Like it didn't taste right. So but
I wonder if there's some sort of some sort of sriracha conspiracy thing going on.
Yeah, maybe.
Someone sabotaged the peppers, their biggest competitor. It was Tabasco.
Yeah, Tabasco came in and yeah.
Okay, so how did you learn that you were an adult child?
I always kind of felt like I wasn't on the same page as everybody around me and just unable to relate to folks in a way, and like had a lot of trouble with social stuff. And as an adult, I just did my best for years and years and years. And then this past, like, 2020 kind of like broke everything, as it did for a lot of us. It broke my life. And like, my relationship of 4 years ended, and I was just like really in this bad mental place after COVID and lockdowns and everything. And so I was just kind of desperate for some relief from all this like anxiety and stress that I've had forever. And I got really into podcasts. I was listening to podcasts every day, and I found your podcast. Mm-hmm. And I also found, just like, I didn't even know CPTSD was a thing until like 2 years ago, which is another thing. But discovered that term. And then once I had a term, I could like search. And so like I started like finding all these resources that were really helpful. And I have to say, like, when I first joined the shit show, I was like, well, I don't know if this is for me. I don't know if I'm like quite fit in here. But then 3 months in and like reading the laundry list again, I'm just like, okay, yeah, this is like pretty applicable after all. So actually, I am actually that.
Unfortunately. Well, at least you know. Had you ever been in therapy prior to that?
Yeah, I spent years in therapy, which is like a whole nother thing that I can talk about. But I was in therapy as a teenager, and I started when I was like 12, and then had a really traumatic experience with the therapist as a teenager, and then kind of said no to that whole thing and ignored it for a long time. And then as an adult, was just having so much trouble with my anxiety and social stuff, and started going to therapy again in college. And then once I got like a job out of college and got health insurance, was like also seeing another therapist, then another one. So I've been in therapy for like probably a decade or more over the years. So
had any of them put the finger on childhood?
Not really, no. And it's so weird to me looking back, because it's like, especially knowing what I know now, I can't understand what they were thinking. I really don't know what they were thinking. It's so confusing, because to me, looking back, I was showing up with so much inhibition. I could not express myself. I could not, like, there was just so many like red flags about my like demeanor and about how I was expressing myself and not expressing myself. And it's just like, this is like pretty obviously, I missed some developmental milestones. I missed things that people should have gotten, maybe that we could work on that, but it just never really,
it's mind blowing.
So I don't know, it's changing hopefully, but it is still, I had a therapist, my most recent one, literally ask me, did that really happen, after I told him something really traumatic.
Oh my God.
And I can't with these people. I don't understand what's going on, where like,
what did you say?
I don't know how much like detail you want me to go into.
Yeah, you can go into as much detail as you feel comfortable. You know me.
I just don't want to trigger a lot of people, but
trigger warning. Go ahead.
Basically, my sister was really abusive to me growing up, and she like held a pillow over my face for a while when I was like probably like five. Or no, I wasn't five. I was little. I was probably like seven, and she's 10 years older than me, and she was just like holding this pillow over my head when I was old. I remembered it, but it didn't have any emotional significance until recently, where I was like, wow, that was messed up. You shouldn't do that to a little kid. And this therapist really did not quite understand. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on in therapy.
Is that the last time you saw them, I hope?
It was like one of the last times. Yeah, I think that was like a red flag where I was like, I'm not going to get anywhere with this guy. So.
So you would think that would be like therapy 101 to not say something like that. That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know being a therapist is a hard job. I know there's a lot of training that they have to go through and a lot of like hoops to go through, but there's clearly something missing with the childhood trauma piece, where it's just kind of a blind spot, I think.
So fucked up.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So let's go backwards.
Yeah, it was really broken. Like, just layer after layer was broken. So like my mom my mom died when I was 5 of a brain tumor. So she had been sick for a couple of years before she died. And so I don't think I ever really super bonded with her. I think I was much more bonded with my grandmother because she was taking care of us when my mom was sick. And so my mom was like flying all over the place to get treatment. She was like flying to Texas for a while to get treatment. And so like she just wasn't around, or if she was around, she was like not feeling well or sick or whatever. So I spent a lot of time with my grandparents, her parents.
Have many memories of that time?
I don't, but one of my first memories actually is like an ambulance showing up at our house when she was having a seizure in the middle of the night. And so lots of broken stuff there. My biological dad left my mom before I was born. Mm-hmm. And I was adopted by my stepdad, adopted my sister and I when I was like a little baby, probably like 1 or 2. And then he left when my mom died. So he like just left town, never came back, started a new family in another state basically, and never contacted us or anything. So And then my grandparents raised me, my mom's parents raised us, and they were just like really not well. They had lost my mom, but they had also lost my mom's brother a few years before in a drunk driving car accident. So they were just like really not equipped to take care of kids at that moment. So lots of dysfunctional home stuff, lots of neglect and emotional neglect and physical neglect and physical abuse and screaming and yelling, throwing stuff, all that good stuff. So not a great way to grow up.
Was 10 years older than you, you said?
Yeah. So she, you know, she had enough of the abuse in the family. Hmm. Left home when she was 18. I was 8 or 9, and I never saw her again until like 2002. And she drove me to like, we basically spent a day together, and then she went off to the Iraq War and came back really traumatized. And she was in the army in like the first wave of soldiers going to Iraq. So she has had a really tough time, and we're not in contact now. So I'm not really sure what she's up to or how she's doing, but it's been a long time since we've talked. So
how long has it been?
Years, maybe a decade or more. I think, yeah, I saw her. The last time I saw her was 2008. And wow. Yeah, so.
You guys have the same dad?
No, we have different dads. Okay.
Did she, so I'm, do you know how old, how long was your mom sick?
A couple of years, I think. Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to know because I was
so young. Yeah.
A little, but I mean, definitely a couple of years. Like they did a bunch of surgeries on her and it didn't work. And she was in like a lot of different like treatments and stuff. So they like tried, but it was too aggressive and too far along. And that's the other thing. When my mom died, my family like shut down. They would not talk about her. They would not talk about her death. They would not talk about like grieving. It was like, we're going to put this in a box. We're going to put it in the basement and we're never going to look at it again. And for a little kid, like that basically meant I didn't have space to grieve because I'm in a family that this is like not a topic we can bring up. And I'm getting older and processing this stuff on my own, in my own head, and without any kind of support or any kind of, hey, how are you doing? You know, just like no one's checking in, no one's bringing it up. So just not a great way to handle it. But
do you have any teachers, or was there any sort of a adult mentor that had a positive impact on your childhood at all?
I mean, I'm sure there are some. I really just, what I've come to realize lately is that it wasn't just my family that was dysfunctional. It was my whole community. I grew up in a really rural, dispossessed part of the rural South. Mm-hmm. And so it's the Delta, if you're familiar. It's basically like the Mississippi Delta is just one of the poorest regions in the country. It has very little resources for anything. Our nearest grocery store was 30 minutes away. Like everyone there is kind of dealing with their own mental health struggles because it's generational trauma going on. So like my teachers are all struggling. My the school administrators are struggling. Everyone's just doing their best with very little mental health, especially back in the 90s when there was like therapy was not a thing that you just went and did in the South back then. Maybe it is now, but my high school got shut down. The state shut it down, I think 2 years after I graduated, because it had been under enrolled for years and it had been underperforming for years. And it was, the problem was it was so rural that like, if you shut down the school, it would mean that you'd have to bus these kids an hour and a half away. And so they ended up finally doing it in, I don't know, like 2010 or something like that. But the school did a lot of damage to me and to my classmates for sure. I mean, we did not have teachers for a lot of my classes. Like we had subs for a lot of my classes. This is a classic Delta story. Like this is not exclusive to my town, but this is just like a Delta kind of story, like where it's hard to attract talent to a school in a place like that. And the kids are so traumatized and they're in such like difficult situations with their families and in generational poverty that like they're showing up to school extremely dysregulated, extremely like hopeless, bitter, disengaged. And then you have teachers, they don't have the training to deal with this kind of like this kind of disruption, this kind of like deep cultural issue that like all those kids needed a therapist, right? But where were they going to get one? So yeah,
how many kids were in your grade?
I graduated with I think 20. Wow. Something like that. It's a really
and was
small
it school. Like were you, had you been with those kids the whole time?
A lot of them, yeah, like a lot of them I did remember from like elementary school. Yeah.
And then what sent you into therapy as a teenager?
I was showing some red flags, as you might imagine. So I was very mistrustful of authority and very kind of, I was fighting with my grandfather all the time. Like he was really abusive and I just had it with him and I was just constantly fighting with him. And same with my grandmother, but there was this like enmeshed like relationship with her because she was like my one caretaker that I could trust and could kind of relate to sometimes. So I just had like huge conflicts with my family. My family's very conservative Christian and I'm gay. So that was a whole nother thing where it's like, I'm never going to be loved by you. I'm never going to be accepted by you. So why am I even trying to fit in here? And I've known I was gay since I was like eight.
So I was going to ask.
Yeah, I think I realized I was like eight. And I just didn't know what to do. It was just very, it was a very tough time to grow up.
Yeah.
Like different. Cause there was almost no queer people on TV. There were no queer people anywhere. The only thing you heard was really bad stuff around the AIDS crisis or like stuff like that. So, but yeah, just like the thing that sent me to the therapy was I went for an annual checkup with my pediatrician. And it was like June and I was wearing a coat and because I had been like, I was a large kid. I was a fat kid. I was like overeating a lot. So, and I was being bullied for it so much that I was like basically just ashamed of my existence and was wearing a coat to kind of hide myself and protect myself. And the doctor was like, you shouldn't be wearing a coat in June. Let's get you into therapy. Clearly something's going on here. And she referred us to this therapist who really had no idea what he was doing with me and never once asked, was there abuse in the home? Am I being, which there was, like I got bruised up by my grandfather. I got beat up by him. I got, you know, my grandmother was routinely throwing stuff at the wall and then yelling at me to pick up the pieces and just all this kind of stuff. And it's so normal to you as a kid that you don't even know that it's like something to bring up in therapy, right? This is my home life. Why would I ever bring it up in therapy? This is just normal, right?
Isn't this what everyone experiences? Yeah.
And my grandparents were so gaslighting. Like they were literally in session. My grandmother was in session with me sometimes. And she had this like face she would wear where it's like, I'm a nice lady. I'm affable. I am an upstanding citizen. And it's like, meanwhile, at home, you're literally breaking dishes, you're a terror, you're throwing open doors, you're just literally causing chaos in the home on a daily basis, but nobody knows except me, and nobody believes a kid when they like call somebody out for that, because you know, adults are always believed.
What were your outlets?
I got really into music when I was like a teenager, preteen. So I was a very angry teenager, as you might imagine. And so I was really into like angry like music. So like goth, like the goth music was like always my favorite. Courtney Love, Susie Sue. And then I had like, I was also into like folk music and dance music. And so I listened to a lot of Joni Mitchell and Tori Amos and Fiona Apple and Bjork and all the like, all the girlies, mm-hmm. all the weird girlies. And yeah, just mostly like, and we got the internet when I was like 13 or 14. And I just like immediately spent all my day online basically, because it was like the only outlet in this very isolated place.
From MySpace?
I was on MySpace, but before MySpace, I was on like random message boards and like IRC. And I don't know, it was a different time. Very different time on the internet, but I like had like my friends online that I actually never met. And that was kind of like the only outlet I could really have in a place like that. So.
Well, you obviously did well enough in school to get to college.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it freeing when you finally got away to college?
Yeah. Honestly, like my life began when I moved out. Like I honestly like, you know, it took me a long time to really start to feel comfortable with myself. But just being able to meet different kinds of people and like them be nice was like a new thing.
Do you remember the first time you met somebody else that was gay?
Yeah, I did a little bit of like dating, quote unquote, when I was like 18. Just like, I'm leaving the house. I'm not telling you where I'm going. I'm going to go do this and that. So did some dating when I was 18. And like when I was in college, one of my best friends, we would hit the clubs, even though I couldn't drink, but we would, I don't know, this isn't legal, but we would pregame in her pickup truck before we hit the club. So
clear.
Yeah. So good times. But yeah, like, honestly, like I was just reflecting the other day that I'm so thankful that I got out, because it was such like a it was just horrible.
Yeah,
it's space, fire traps, can't leave.
Did you also feel like you were really struggling with depression then?
I've had intense social anxiety since I was a kid, so I was really struggling with that, and I kept going to therapy trying to fix that, and I just couldn't get relief from my intense social anxiety. I'm still dealing with it. It's still really tough. It's just this like deep feeling of I'm not good, no one will like me. I have a lot of like trauma around my body and how my body looks and how I'm perceived, and that gets in the way when I'm in social stuff. And you know, it's been like a hard road, but I would say like the past year I'm finally like really coming out of the darkest parts of it, just like finally having tools and knowledge to deal with this stuff that I never had before. And but it took a long time to accumulate all that knowledge and find the skills and the like, yeah, the knowledge.
Was that, so the relationship that ended during COVID or right before COVID, was that like your first long-term relationship?
No, I dated a couple of times before, but yeah, I just didn't go very far. I wasn't a super like, I think we've discussed, I'm pretty sure I'm pretty avoidant. Never really thought about it until recently. But I look back and I'm like, I was really avoidant in all my relationships, where it's like, I like you right here. And if you get
don't move. Close, don't get any closer.
Yeah, don't get too close. That really freaks me out. So why don't you stay over there? And yeah, so a lot of my time I was not dating. I just, like, it was too uncomfortable to get close to somebody like that. So, but yeah, this guy and I dated for, we were together for 4 years, moved in during the pandemic, and I was just going through so much stress with COVID, and it was really getting to me, the anxiety of COVID and all the like instability in our world. And it was really like, it was triggering all my inner instability. And it was like, mm-hmm. I'm not safe anywhere. I'm not safe, like, going anywhere. I'm not, just triggered so much that I just couldn't. And I didn't even know what dysregulation was at the time. And so it was just like me just, you know, wilding out, you know, trying to figure out like how to feel okay, but not having any skills. And my therapist doesn't really help. And so it was a tough time, but we broke up. And honestly, I think that breakup was like the medicine I needed, because it was like, you know, in all that grief and pain, I was able to find some resources, and the pain gave me a lot of motivation to keep going. And so, yeah, like I said, I finally learned that CPTSD is a thing. I got Pete Walker's book, and like, I had been diagnosed with PTSD, but I had not been diagnosed with complex PTSD. I've been told, actually, what you're going through is pretty common, and there's like a whole I don't know, it was just very weird that the therapist I was going to never connected the dots, where it's like, we acknowledge PTSD exists, we for some reason are,
you don't know about this other thing. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know about you having lots of traumatic events. We're not sure about that. We're not sure what causes these issues. So let's not jump the gun and say that's, you know, anything yet. It's just like, guys, I'm right in front of you. You don't need a scientific study to listen to somebody and connect the dots, right? Like, you don't need the DSM to acknowledge what's right in front of you, right? So I found that very frustrating. Yeah, I found a lot of resources, CPTSD, and found a ton of podcasts, and yours included. And I listened to one of your first episodes and really got, I was like, oh, you were maligned in school and was like the scapegoat. Me too. I really like this girl. So yeah. I hope we would have been friends. I don't know if I had the courage to be.
You wouldn't want to be my friend. I was such a mess. I was such a sloppy mess.
Well, maybe we could have been sloppy together. Yeah, I don't know.
Fun. Did you experience emotional flashbacks?
Yeah. And didn't know what they were.
What were they typically triggered by?
Just literally going outside. Like, I was so, because I had been bullied so much in school, and it was like persistent and daily. And it was just like, the only thing I know how to do is shut down, dissociate, and be aggressive, because that keeps people away from me, right? So if you're being bullied in school, you either take it forever and ever and ever, or you like go off on somebody, and then they like get the message that like, oh, maybe I shouldn't mess with this person. So in my traumatized little teenager body, I was just like grasping at straws, trying to find anything to help me. I wore this mask of aggression forever, where it was like, and then that is still like an automatic thing that I kind of do when I'm triggered. I can look quite severe, and that's like my shield, you know. It's like, no one's gonna mess with me. Yeah, no one's gonna mess with me, because I will. Yeah, I don't know, which is funny because I'm not violent or aggressive really, but you had to do what you had to do to get by, right?
Yeah. Grant, so, you're a pretty remarkable human. You've been through so fucking much, and you're doing really good. Seriously. Yeah, I mean it. You've been through a whole hell of a lot.
I'm trying. I've always had this like thing in me that's like, I will not stay here. Like, I will not stay here. I have to go. And so when I got the chance, like, I left, and I was scared, but I'm so glad I left and didn't look back. And my family and I are in no contact these days.
When was the last time you spoke to your grandparents? Are they still alive?
My grandpa died in like 2015. My grandma is super duper conservative Christian and just will not accept me, or my sister is also gay. She will not accept us for who we are ever. Like, there's just not a thing that that's going to happen. And she said a really horrible thing to me a few years ago, and I don't think I'd be able to heal with her in my life. It's like, I need space to, because she was often, I mean, she had driven everyone out of her life. She had driven away my sister. She had driven away a lot of our family members.
And do you know anything about their upbringings, about your grandparents' upbringings?
super rural, super poor, super isolated. You know, my grandmother, they both grew up in the Depression, so, you know, didn't have anything. To this day, a lot of their habits rubbed off on me. So to this day, I can't waste food. Like, I feel so bad wasting food. So I can't just throw something away. Like, I'll find a purpose for anything, basically. Like, I feel like that rubbed off. But yeah, super traumatized, super impoverished, and big families. My grandmother had to raise her little siblings. She was like a middle child, and I think she had nine siblings. So she was responsible for these little babies at 6, 7, 8, you know. And it's like, what that does to a person, I can't imagine.
And so childhood. Wow. Did they grow up where you grew up? Like, they were from there, from that small town?
Pretty much, yeah, that area. She moved to Missouri with her sister, last I heard. So, you know, I think that was like also why I'm like, you're doing a lot of harm being in my life, and you have a network, and I'm going to peace out and let you, you do your own thing, and I'm going to do my thing. And been kind of at peace with it for a long time. Yeah. But it is hard. I think about, you know, like if I ever find out about her death, like how I will feel. I think that'll be really tough to hear about, because it has been such a rough road.
Like, trauma bonded, right?
Yeah. And I still love her. I still care about her. She's still, you know, I do recognize how much she sacrificed to raise us, even though she was miserable and bitter doing it. But, you know, she did a lot for us, so I appreciate that. But
so talk about the ways in which you've grown over the past year.
Yeah, just finally having a vocabulary for all this stuff, like knowing what a trauma flashback is, knowing what dysregulation is, knowing that I have tools, I can like, I got a lot of relief from IFS. So I've been seeing an IFS therapist for about like 3 months. And
that's awesome.
That's like transformed my life. And it's like such a cool modality. And I wish it were more accessible. It's not super easy to find an IFS counselor. And so I actually am going to a counselor that was on your pod. So thank you for thank
oh,
you
are
for
you working that. With Terry?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Terry's wonderful.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Super knowledgeable.
Yeah, I can see you guys being a good fit for each other. That's good. Do you want to share about any parts that have come up for you that you've connected with, or anything profound that you feel comfortable sharing?
Yeah, I just have like this a lot of wounded child parts where it's like they're very scared. They're very like, they're very scared. And I had like this huge, like, kind of angry, rebellious teenager part take over when I was a teenager. And that's, she's been running my energy for a long time because especially with COVID, it was like, she was kind of under the surface for a long time. And then COVID came and it was like, oh shit, like things are getting rough. Let me come out and keep us safe, right? So working with her has been really tough, but also really rewarding, because at the end of the day, these parts are working for us. They love us so much that they want to work really hard for us. And valuing that work is so healing in and of itself, just like valuing that, like, this is for a reason. It's not great. It causes problems, but it is here to help. And we can reintegrate those parts and make friends with them, and things get easier. You know, and also what's cool about IFS is when you develop relationship skills with your parts, those skills translate to the real world. So you're like I can relate to other people better because I can relate to my parts better. And it's just a really cool modality. So yeah, I love it. Yeah,
it's great. I'm getting a lot out of it too. Give me three things that you like about yourself.
I'm really funny. I don't show it very often, but I can get really silly and really funny. I am really tenacious. If I set my sights on something, I will get it. And I am really creative. Like, I love to make stuff and do stuff creatively. And,
like what?
I went to school for photojournalism. I don't do that professionally, but I've been taking photos since I was a teenager, and I still do that like for fun. It's like art photos, basically. And
did you ever do any work in it?
A little bit, yeah. I did. I worked at a magazine for a year.
Kind of be doing fucking hard to get in to that world.
I was just writing and editing, so I actually never really did professional photojournalism.
Wow. Hope or dream for the future?
I just really want a peaceful life. I want a peaceful life where I can grow. I have a good network, and I have my two cats. I have like 30 plants. Like, it's just like a place of peace. Let it all go. What's making you slow now? Just let it.